Amen. If you have a Bible, 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. You know, as you go through the Gospels, Jesus is a master storyteller. And he teaches in parables, he gives an illustration, he tells a story, and then makes an application. A lot of times we go back to the Old Testament stories and we find in the New Testament it says those things were written for our learning and our admonition. So there's warnings that come, there's wisdom, there's direction that comes from the stories in the Bible. And they're spiritual, and they're inspired of God, and it's a blessing. We'll see some of those today. But let's just read one verse and then we'll have a word of prayer. This is 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. And let's pray. Father, bless your word today. Thank you for it. I pray, Lord, that you would teach us, guide us today. And Lord, may we be used of you for the glory of God. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to speak today on following Jesus. He's a good person to follow. Amen. Sometimes you get off track or you can go down the wrong road or even take the wrong advice. The Lord will never give us the wrong advice. There's the wisdom of the world and then there's the wisdom of God. And you're a blessed person if you understand the difference and follow the right wisdom, because that'll bring you peace. Sometimes it's easy preaching but hard living. And so we know what's right and we know what would be of benefit to us and the Lord and to all those around us. But sometimes we have a hard time doing that. To show the scripture about the importance of this, 1 Peter 2:21, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps." And one of the things is when he was reviled, he reviled not again. And there's all kinds of instruction about this. But he left us an example that we would follow him. In John chapter 13 and verse 15, the Lord said, "I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you." And the whole chapter was about humility and serving other people. And he says, "I want you to do what I have done." And so we follow that example. What an example the Lord is. Amen. If you follow his life, the life of Christ through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you see wonderful things and how he's helped and ministered to so many people. Luke chapter 9, verse 23, "And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross," and here's those words again, "and follow me." Follow me. So you have to know where he's going to follow him. Amen? And or at least the direction he's going. And as long as you don't lose sight of the Lord and lose sight of the word, you'll be okay. Amen? And if you get a little off the track, just look to him. Just look to him and look to his word. In Mark chapter 1 and verse 17, Jesus said unto them, "Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." So if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, follow me. Amen. And then here it's saying basically the same thing. In John 3:34, "For he whom God has sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him." So we talk about the filling of the Spirit in the Bible. And you know what that is: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, etc., etc. And it says that our Lord had the Spirit without measure. He was filled with the Spirit. God tells us to be filled with the Spirit. Amen? Same thing. And so as we are open to the Spirit of God filling us and leading us and helping us, we are like Christ. We are following Christ because that's the comforter and he meets all kinds of needs for us. The difference is the Lord was without sin. Amen. He never grieved the Spirit or quenched the Spirit. We are not without sin. We can grieve the Spirit and we can quench the Spirit. But to follow the Lord, we want to be filled with the Spirit. I don't think the Lord would have asked us to do that if it were not possible. That sometimes we go the other direction. Philippians 2:5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." How he thought. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And so we find that mind, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. We want the mind of the Lord. A little bit of background here. Psalm 145 and verse 8, the Lord is gracious, full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. That sets a pretty good foundation. Amen? When you look at all those things. One more verse here. 1 Peter 3:8, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, and be courteous. And so here's our assembly, and you know, we love one another. Amen. We come together and we pray one for another here. We want to help one another. And God tells us to do that, to have that mindset and the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And so we're doing that because that's what Jesus would do. Amen. He doesn't want discord. He would want accord. Amen. He wouldn't want us to neglect each other. He would want us to pray one for another and meet one another's needs. That's what the Lord would do. So as a church follows the Lord, we minister one to another. And all the one another verses, you say, Pastor, you use those too much. I don't want to hear them again. Well, surprise. Love one another, comfort one another, pray one for another, be kind one to another. That's the mind of the Lord. Amen. And so when we come to church and come to our assembly and even go home and we're praying for one another, we're doing what God would want us to do. Finally, I think that's a pretty good foundation. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk even as he walked. That's our text. So we abide in Christ. He that saith he abideth in him. In John chapter 15, you don't have to turn there. I think I'll go there. But in John chapter 15, it talks about abiding in Christ. And without giving a lesson on that, let me see what verses I wrote down to read here. This is verse 3 of John chapter 15. You don't have to turn there. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me and I in you. This is the Lord. He says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Amen. And that's pretty clear. So the Lord says to us, abide in me. He that saith he abideth in him, also so to walk even as he walked. So we're walking, we're following him. Amen? I mean, it's clear from the scripture, but there are so many blessings and benefits from this. And so we will follow the Lord. I think that's a desire of every believer. Just sometimes we get off the track, so to speak. One of the stories in the Bible is in Mark chapter 10. And Jesus is traveling out of Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people. And there was a blind man there by the name of Bartimaeus. And he was sitting by the highway side begging. I want you to get a picture of this guy. He's blind and he's begging. He's a beggar. His sustenance, his support came from whoever wanted to be kind to him, whoever wanted to give him a bite to eat or maybe a coat to cover him in the winter or whatever the need was. But he was a blind beggar and he heard that it was the Lord coming by. Amen. And all the people were there. It says a great number of people. And he said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. The Lord will never turn his ear away from somebody asking for mercy. It doesn't matter what you've done, what you've become. You're by the side of the road begging spiritually. And he will come to your need. And everybody was telling him to be quiet, but he wanted the Lord to do something for him. Amen? He really wanted that. He really wanted that. And so he said, Jesus, thou son of David. He said it real loud. I won't do that. But Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And the Bible says that Jesus stood still. I mean, all of these people were around him. Some religious people, some very wealthy people. But he stood still because that man in that condition was crying for mercy. Boy, that's a blessing to know that. Amen. That's a story that's in the Bible so that we can follow that. We can come to the Lord. And the Bible says, Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? And he says, Lord, give me my sight. And the Lord did that for him. And here's what the rest of the verse says. And he followed Jesus in the way. He followed. Why wouldn't he follow Jesus? Amen. I mean, look what the Lord did for him, and nobody else could do that for him. And so he followed Jesus in the way. Last Sunday, I talked a little bit about Luke chapter 7, about the woman that was a sinner, went to see the Pharisee, went into his house. That's where Jesus was, Simon's house. And when she went in, she wept. She washed his feet with her tears and with her hair, and she adored him. Amen. And the Bible says toward the end of that story, because she was forgiven much, she loved much. Here's a blind beggar. Nobody else could do that for him, and Jesus did something for him, and he followed him. It just depends on what the Lord did for you. Amen. If you've experienced salvation, and you're going to go to heaven, all your sins are forgiven. As a mess as we can be from time to time, the Lord is merciful and gracious to us. Isn't that the one we want to follow? Praise the Lord for that. Mark chapter 10, that story. Luke chapter 11. We won't take the time to read all the verses, but there's a lawyer there, and he says, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your might, all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself." This guy was a lawyer, and so he says, to justify himself, you can read the chapter and uses that language, to justify himself, he said, "And who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor?" And so the Lord told him a story. Amen? And in the story, there were all kinds of instruction and help and guidance and blessing if he would just take the story and apply it. And the story was, there was a certain man, and he went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. He fell among thieves. They robbed him. They beat him. They left him. He was half dead by the side of the road, stole everything he had. And along comes a priest. You know the story, right? You say, "Well, I already know it. Why don't you go to another story?" Well, sometimes the Lord says line upon line, precept upon precept. Amen. Verily, verily. So he tells us the same thing over and over. So maybe you'll get it. Amen. Sometimes you don't get it the first time. I've heard that story 20 times. Well, let's see if you responded like they did in the Bible. Amen. And if you didn't, I'll preach it next week. Amen. No, one amen. Okay. Amen. So he's laying there, he's half dead, he's been robbed of everything, and on one side of the other side of the road, a priest comes by, and he walks on by. He just walks on by. He's not going to get involved in that. And that speaks of religion. And then there was, who came next? The Levite. And the Levite walked by on the other side, and he was a picture of the law. The Levites took care of that. They copied out the scriptures. So he passed by on the other side. But there was a good Samaritan, and he went to where this man was. Boy, that's good. Amen? You can just stop right there. He went to where that man was. He put in oil. He bound up his wounds. He put him on his own beast. He took him to an inn, and he said, "Take care of him. When I come again, I'll repay." I mean, this was involved. Amen? He really did his best here. And then at the very end, Jesus said, "Who was his neighbor?" He answered the question. And he said, "I guess the one that went and met his needs." And then Jesus said, "Go and do thou likewise." Because that's what he does. Amen? That's what he does. He comes to us, whether we're a blind beggar or whether we've been left by the side of the road half dead. By the way, people that aren't saved are half dead. They're alive physically, but they're dead spiritually. There's so many applications there. The depth of that story. But all we have to do is take what the Lord said. What did he say? "Go and do thou likewise." Because that's what he would do. So that's what following the Lord is all about. In the Lord's Supper, we're going to have the Lord's Supper today. Let a man examine himself. And so we do that because we want to follow the Lord. I think that's so important. Matthew chapter 25. There's a story there about Who is my brethren? We visited you in prison. We fed you when you were hungry. We clothed you when you were naked. And they said, "When did we do that, Lord?" And he says, "As much as you've done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me." You ever do something for somebody and they don't appreciate it? No, never? Probably we've all had that. And then you figure out, well, why did I do it? Did I do it to get something? Did I do it to feel good? Or did I do it for the Lord? Because sometimes God just wants you to do something for Him, whether you get anything out of it or not. Amen? And that's following the Lord, but somebody really benefits from that for sure. And the Lord does too. John chapter 4. Jesus and His disciples are traveling. And the Bible says Jesus, He must needs go through Samaria. He knew where His Father was leading Him. And so they all go there, and there was a woman at the well. You know the story. The Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. What are you doing talking to me? The disciples left. They went to town to get something to eat. And Jesus had meat to eat that they know not of. He had something spiritual. And He talks to this woman. He tells her her sin, but He reveals that He's the Messiah. She receives the Messiah. She runs home. Come see a man told me all things whatsoever I did. Is not this the Christ? Amen? And that's something where God leads us where we know we need to go. I need to talk to Him. I won't mention, but there's a man in our church, and his first name is Richard. And but I won't tell you who it is, because there's thousands of people here, and there's probably 500 Richards. But anyway, he brought a man, and I know you heard the story before, but he brought a young boy to a meeting, and that young boy heard the gospel and wanted to be saved and got saved. That young boy is now in this church, and that young boy brought his father to this church, and his father now is saved. But that's just the beginning of the story. Amen? It's because somebody did something way back here, and now all of the fruit. How long ago was that? That was probably 20 years ago. 15 years ago, 10 years ago, I don't know, but it was a long time ago, amen? And you know, well, but He waited. God knew what was going to happen in the future. I love all these stories. They're all so good. Remember Genesis chapter 24? The servant of Abraham is going to find a bride for Abraham's son Isaac. And as he's going, he said this, because God led him right where he needed to be. And the Bible says in that chapter, I being in the way the Lord led me. So we follow the Lord. We take some steps. Well, I know this is right. Then He opens another door. And you can go this way. And maybe the path goes this way or that way. But you know the pillar of cloud, the pillar of fire, it's leading you. You know exactly what to do because you're doing it now. Amen? So if you do the will of God now, you'll know what the will of God is in the future. In Acts chapter 8, another story. I got about 15 of these. I'll cut it short. Amen? I'll be done 12:30. Anyway, Acts chapter 8. Philip is in a revival. He's preaching. There's a man that is a bigwig in another country. That's the Ethiopian eunuch. He was a treasurer. He's on his way back from Jerusalem. He's going home. He's in the desert. God tells Philip, and here's the words, arise and go to the desert. A little later on it said, so he arose and went. Isn't that precious? Arise and go. Okay. He arose and went. And because he did that, God connected him with the Ethiopian eunuch who was interested in what the scriptures meant. Remember, he's reading Isaiah 53 and he couldn't understand it. And he said to Philip, how can I understand this except a man should guide me? So God sent a man to guide him. Amen. And he finally got saved. What a blessing. What a story. That's a great story in the Bible. And there were great results from that. There is a time and a place that God connects people. You can be with somebody and you can, you know, maybe establish a rapport with somebody you're working with, a neighbor, whoever. And God will open a door and give you an opportunity sometime. Amen? And you can be a part of a great story. Like the one we talked about just a minute ago in our own church. You can be a part of a great story if when God says arise and go, you arise and go. If God says stand still, you stand still. If God says go and be like this, then you go and be like that. And God does something with us. Amen? The Christian life is not helter-skelter and just oh, I wonder what to do. And, you know, it's following the Lord, because God will put people in your path. Blind Bartimaeus, Jesus stood still. The Good Samaritan, he went to where he was, etc., etc. In 2 Kings, I think it's chapter 7, there's a story about four lepers. And they were going to die. And they said, you know, the enemy's out there. They're sitting outside the wall of the city because nobody would have them in there because they were castaways. There was a famine. There was no food. And they sat outside the wall and they said one to another, why sit we here until we die? We're going to die of starvation. We're going to die of leprosy. Or we're going to die by the enemy. But why don't we go and try something? Amen? Why don't we just try something? Let's go out to the enemy. And here's another blessed truth. It says that they rose up and went to the enemy's camp in the twilight. And about four or five verses later in that chapter, it says, in the twilight, the enemy fled. While they were getting up to go, the enemy was getting gone. Is that good English? Getting gone. Sure, that'll work. Amen. As long as you get the idea. So here, God put it on their heart to go to the camp of the enemy to get some food. And God scared the enemy away at the exact same time. So when they got there, all the tents were still there and there was no enemy. And so they went into one tent and these guys are lepers. They're going to die. And here's all this wealth. All this wealth. Great wealth. Here's food. There's stuff in their faces. Can you imagine? They're putting gold and silver into their pockets, but they have holes so they fall out. But, you know, and all of a sudden, that's the first tent. They stopped after one tent and they said one to another, we do not well this day. All of our people in the city are perishing with hunger, and look what we got, more than we could ever use. And so they went back and they told the people in the city, the very people that wouldn't let them inside the city. Boy, that's a good story too. There's a lot of principles there, and we won't take the time to go into that. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And let's start in verse 26. Boy, it's so important to follow the Lord. For you see your calling, brethren. This is 1 Corinthians 1:26. You see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. God chooses us. Amen. And God can use anybody. Like the preacher said, God can hit an awful hard lick with a crooked stick if the stick belongs to him. Amen. You can be a crooked stick. God will use you. Look at chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And we'll read a couple verses there. Verse 6. I have planted, Paul says, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase, no matter what we do. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Here's the foundation. Other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. That's the gospel. Amen? That's salvation. And then we try and minister. We add to that foundation. We try and serve people, help people, teach people, mentor people, guide people. Amen? Because God uses human instruments. And we do that for his glory. because he's the one that brings it all together. You plant, you water, but God gives the increase. Amen? And so we follow him and he does the work. Mark, I'll just bring this out here. Mark chapter 10, Jesus spoke to blind Bartimaeus. What do you want me to do for you? I want to see, I want to receive my sight. Okay, he spoke to him and the blindness went away. Amen? That's pretty good. John chapter 9 and verse 6, here's another blind man. Jesus spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle. He anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay and said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam. He went his way therefore and washed, came seeing. That wasn't just speaking. It was something that God did. Different than he healed that blind man there, he heals this blind man here. Here's another one. Mark chapter 8. He took the blind man by the hand and led him out of town. And when he spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. After that, he put his hands again upon his eyes and he made him look up and he was restored and saw every man clearly. Boy, that's a different way of doing it. The first time he didn't see clearly, but he touched him again. Now he saw clearly. God will use you. We're all different. Amen. Different personalities, different upbringings. We have different connections in the world. God will use you, and what he does with you and through you might be different than what he's doing with somebody else. Amen? You don't get a book on how to win a soul and just do it just like that. Sometimes they teach, okay, memorize these five verses. That's a good thing to do. That'll give you a basis. But you can go all through the Bible and tell stories about how to be saved. Amen? And that's what we ought to be doing. God works how he works, but he does work. God leads how he leads, but he does lead. John chapter 12 and verse 27. The last thing Jesus did was go to the cross. And the reason he went to the cross so that he could prepare a place for us so we could be with him for all eternity. He died for the sins of all mankind. Amen. It says in John 12, 27, now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. God will bring you to a certain place. I am crucified with Christ, yet nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Pick up your cross, take up your cross, deny yourself, follow him, and he will make you to become fishers of men. Amen? Just like his sacrifice brought all these souls into the kingdom, got all this forgiveness and blessing, your sacrifice will be the same thing. You follow him. You follow him. 1 Timothy 1:15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ came into the world to save sinners. That's why he came. And Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, even so send I you. There's a song, and I'll just read a couple of the verses here, but try and follow this. It's a real blessing. In shady green pastures, so rich and so sweet, God leads his dear children along where the waters cool flow, bathes the weary one's feet. God leads his dear children along. Boy, I like that verse. I like Psalm 23. By the still waters, amen, you know. He prepares a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You know, he anoints my head with oil. All those things, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And we like that. Yes, the Holy Spirit is the comforter, you know, and that's what I want out of my life. But the song goes on and it says, sometimes on the mount where the sun shines so bright, God leads his dear children along. Sometimes in the valley, in darkest of night, God leads his dear children along. Though sorrows befall us and Satan oppose us, God leads his dear children along. Through grace we can conquer, defeat all our foes. God leads his dear children along. But here's the chorus. Some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day long. God's using every one of us, and You know, you ever get to the place where you look at somebody's comfortable life and you say, man, I had that. I wish I had that. I wish these troubles weren't in my life. This is what I would choose for me. The lines, the psalmist said, the lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Thou maintainest my lot. That's your lot in life, right? That's where they get that statement. But to rejoice in that. Thou maintainest my lot. What is my lot? What is your lot? Don't be envious of somebody else. This is what God has for you. And some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. In Hebrews chapter 11, boy, look at this one. Look at this one. They quenched the fire, and they shut the mouths of the lions, and they did this and all these miracles. But then it comes down at the end of the chapter, and others received not deliverance, of whom the world was not worthy, and others, because that was the lot that God had for them. Amen? We are all so significant to God's cause. The people that you know, the talents, the abilities that you have, what you can do for God, just follow Him, because He will bless it and He will use it for His glory. Man, what a blessing. 2 Corinthians 10:12. We dare not make ourselves of the number, comparing ourselves among ourselves, because when we do that, we are not wise. Boy, I wish I could be like them, and they're wishing they could be like you. Amen? But we need to be like God. 1 Corinthians 12:18. Here's the church. Here we are. Here's the body of Christ. And it says, now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased Him. It pleases God. Isn't that a blessing? You know, well, I'm not really worth a whole lot in the church. Well, the Bible talks about it being a body. And there's some fingers, there's hands, there's feet, there's toes, there's eyes, there's a nose, you know. In a Song of Solomon, when the king was disguised as a shepherd, but he was saying to his wife, your nose is like a tower of Lebanon. That's not how you compliment a woman. Amen. Your nose is like anyway, you might be limited, but that's who you are. Be the best you can be for the Lord. What are we supposed to do? Have the mind of Christ. Follow Him. Be a blessing to people. Amen. Be a blessing to people. And God will bless that. 2 Corinthians 8:2. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy out of their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. Those were the Macedonian believers, and they served God with their whole heart. And God, if you read chapter 8 and chapter 9, 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9, maybe later today, you'll see how God praises them because they prove their love for Him. And God used them greatly. Paul said this, I'll close. Paul said, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. You remember the song, oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. Because somebody's going to see your life, and if they follow the wrong kind of life, they can end up shipwrecked. They can end up in a ditch. But you want them to follow the Lord, amen? But if they're going to follow you and you're following the Lord, then guess what? They're following the Lord. Following Jesus. There's so many verses that we use. There's a lot more. But if you follow Him, I promise you, according to the Scriptures, that He will give you fruit. Because that's what we're supposed to be doing. Amen? Amen. Let's bow our heads, please. Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You so much. I pray, Lord, that You would help us to remember these stories. Go and do Thou likewise. Arise and go. Stand still. Just whatever we can do, Lord, to be faithful servants. Lord, may the story of our life, You said in the Scripture, our life is like a tale that is told. And I pray that my story, Lord, would bring honor and glory to You, and would bring many souls into Your kingdom. I pray that would be the prayer of everyone here. Guide us. May we follow you. May we hear the voice. May we hear the word behind us saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. For your glory, in Jesus' precious name, amen.